Glenn Wolfe, a retired Baptist pastor from Blythe, California, died in 1997, just a month and a half from his 89th birthday. Sadly, no one came to claim his body, and the city had to pay for him to be buried in an unmarked grave. Now, this sort of thing actually happens more often than most of us would realize, as many people live very lonely lives. However, Glenn's situation was, let's say, very unique, because he was a world record holder. The Guinness Book of World Records lists Glenn Wolfe as the most married man of all, at least at this point in time, as he had, hold on to your hats, 29 marriages to his credit. Yes, you heard right, 29 times he had been married. That, of course, means that 29 times he was asked by the officiant, "Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? Forsaking all others, do you pledge yourself only to her, so long as you both shall live?" And 29 times, Glenn Wolfe replied, "I do." He lied. The relationships did not last at all. And he died, leaving behind many children, many grandchildren, many great-grandchildren, many ex-wives and in-laws. And yet he died alone, without a single person showing up to claim his body, acting as a friend for him. True friends are a wonderful gift. Amen? And I dearly hope that you have good friends. I have some good ones, and I treasure them. The kind of friend that will be there until the end and be there no matter what. That's a real test of friendship. And so as we can continue our series in the book of Philippians called Be Joyful, we are looking at Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. And we're going through Philippians verse by verse by verse by verse. And it's been a great blessing. And today we are going to look at Philippians chapter 2 verses 19 through 30. And Paul is going to introduce us to two of his friends. Good friends. I mean really good friends. And we are going to be given a special picture of what friendship should and can look like. And we're going to see the dedication that made them the wonderful friends that they were. So, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We've been working our way through Philippians chapter 2. And in Philippians 2, we looked at some marvelous examples of humility and service. The first example that we looked at was that of Jesus Christ, which is by far, by far, by far the best example. And we looked at Philippians 2, 5 through 11, and it admonished us to have the same attitude as Jesus Christ, who was a humble servant and put others before himself. And then last week we looked at the example of the Apostle Paul himself, who was a real humble servant. How's that? Is that better? And as much as that destroys a holy moment for you, it destroys it for me way more. So pray for me. Oh my goodness. Where were we? Somewhere here. I can just get it in my belt. We actually do have a tester that we test the batteries, or we should test the batteries. Next week we'll do that better. Here I was. The readers of Philippians, and even us today, as we see the great example of Jesus and the Apostle Paul, I think our temptation is to say, Jesus, the example of humility, and Paul, the example of humility and service, how could we ever relate to these spiritual giants? And Jesus is way, way more of an example than the Apostle Paul. Well, what Paul is going to do today is he's going to introduce us to two ordinary people. Ordinary people. People like you and me who are ordinary. And I relate to ordinary people, and some people I can't. I'm a pretty dedicated swimmer. Most of you would call me crazy. I swim, you know, about between 6 and 7 miles a week. But if I get in the lane next to Michael Phelps or Katie Ledecky, I'm not feeling so good about my swimming. So it's all relative, but when we can look at normal people, we can connect with them in a much better way. Well, the first ordinary person that I wanted to point to is that of Timothy. And we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 21. I'll have them on the screen. But if you'd like to follow along in your Bible, please feel free to do that. Timothy's name in the Greek means one who honors God. And he lived up to his name, absolutely. Paul, when he writes Philippians, is imprisoned. He's stuck in a Roman jail, and he cannot personally come to Philippi to see the church members that he cared for from the depths of his heart. And so he decided to send Timothy. And so in verse 19, the first part says, if the Lord is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon. So Paul is writing. He says, I want to send Timothy. He wanted to send Timothy to Philippi. It was about a 1,000-mile trip. By ship, it would take about 3 months to all get there. And he says, I am hoping to send Timothy. And reading on in verse 19, then when he comes back, he can cheer me up by telling me how you are getting along. Paul wanted to know how his friends in this church were doing. And so he sent Timothy as his spy, a good spy, to see how they were doing, how they were getting along. Now, from some other places in the New Testament, we can learn some things about Timothy. We know that Timothy's dad was a Gentile, a Greek. And his mom and his grandmother were just really dedicated Jewish Christians. They had started out as Jews, but then they had been converted to Christianity. And they were strong Christians. Paul had met Timothy in his second missionary journey. And they had worked side by side, working together as partners in gospel ministry. Timothy had become a trusted associate of Paul's. They had a mentor. Paul, the older, more seasoned pastor, was mentoring Timothy, the young pastor. But their bond was much deeper than a mentor-protege kind of bond. It was really more like a father-son relationship. And in his letter to the Philippians, Paul presents Timothy as someone who demonstrates the qualities that God wants the Philippians and wants us today to be able to demonstrate. Timothy was certainly one of a kind. Reading on in verse 20 and following, Paul says, I have no one else like him, like Timothy, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Paul was frustrated. He was hoping someone in Rome, in the church there, and there must have been hundreds of members, would have made the trip back to Philippi and could have done this work for him. But he couldn't find anyone in the church of Rome. In Romans chapter 16, Paul mentions 26 members from the Roman church by name. So he was well acquainted with them. But evidently, the members of the Church of Rome were so engrossed in their own lives, they were so busy that they just could not give themselves fully to the work of the Lord. And they weren't willing to go where Timothy was going to be willing. Has anything really changed in our modern churches today? Verse 22. But you know how Timothy has proved himself like a son with his father. He has helped me in preaching the good news. Again, catch the significance of this father-son bond and how very close they were. Timothy had proved himself. There had been some very difficult situations in that Philippian church. And this young pastor, Timothy, had handled them with some care. And so Paul says he has proved himself. Timothy was more than a trusted colleague. He was a friend that was willing to stand by Paul through thick and thin. He was there no matter what. Next verse says this: I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what is going to happen with me here. See, for Paul, things were up in the air. He's there in prison, and his court case has not come up yet. He is being imprisoned because he had the audacity to say that Caesar is not Lord, but Jesus Christ is Lord. And so Caesar pointed to him and said, this is a dangerous political enemy. We need to imprison him. So his case hadn't come yet, so he was waiting for it to come to trial. But he ends this section by saying, and I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come to see you soon. Paul didn't know what was going to happen, but he chose to be optimistic about his future and was hoping that he could be let out of prison and could go be with the Philippians, who he loved from the bottom of his heart. Timothy, let's call him Tim, is friend number one. Even as a young man, he stood by Paul and was there to minister to Paul's needs. That's the kind of friend that Timothy proved himself to be. Friend number two. Let's look at this other ordinary person. I think he's extraordinary, but he's not in the class as the Apostle Paul, and certainly not in the class of Jesus Christ. In this chronically negative world that we live in, and sometimes I am asked, did you watch the news last night? And my first reaction is, well, I tried not to, but I caught a little bit of it. Can I just state the obvious? There is so much negative press in our world today. It's discouraging to watch what's happening in our world. The people who are getting the news flash, the front page, if you please, are those that are being involved in mudslinging, scathing rebukes, partisan politics, policemen being murdered, or terrorism. Those are the kind of people that seem to be occupying most of the news. Paul now introduces us to a person whose claim to fame is that he was a really good friend to Paul. He showed kindness to him, and he was there for Paul in the hour of his need. This person's name, Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus. Now, Epaphroditus is really hard to say, and it's even harder to spell. So if it's okay to you, I will occasionally call him Pappy. And that's all right, that's easier for me to say. Pappy was an amazing guy. He was there for Paul. Let's read about Pappy. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, who is your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. Now Now, let me tell you a little bit what has gone on between the lines. When the Philippian church heard that Paul was in jail in Rome, they wanted to send a representative to take news of what was going on in the homeland. That was way in the days before any communication that we have today. And communication was by word of mouth, that the person who had that information traveled from point A to point B to deliver. So Epaphroditus volunteered to be the representative and to make this long 3-month trek to Rome in order to not only tell Paul of the news of what was going on in the home church, but also to be there by his side and to be his assistant and to be there to serve him in any way possible. Now, that would have been a very gutsy thing to do, because Paul was in prison because he had stood up to Caesar. Anyone who would be there at his side, taking his side, could have been deemed by the government as someone who was also dangerous and could have also received the same sentence as Paul could have received. But the Philippians sent Pappy to make this long trip, and in addition to taking news of the home, he was there to minister to Paul, and he also brought a financial gift, and we'll read about that later in Philippians. They had passed the hat there in the church one Sabbath, maybe many Sabbaths, and had taken up a collection because Paul had nothing there in Rome. He didn't even have a coat to keep himself warm. So they took up this collection. They sent Epaphroditus with this collection, and Epaphroditus was able to make sure that Paul was adequately clothed, he was warm, and he was well fed, because the prison didn't care really what they fed their people. So there is Epaphroditus, Pappy, there in Rome. Now, during the time that he was serving Rome, Epaphroditus got really, really sick. Some commentators think that he got something called Roman fever, which swept through Rome during this time in human history. It came like a scourge, and often there were plagues and scourges that would go through towns. This was before the days of immunization and medicine and all the things that we have today to counteract that. It could have also been possible that Pappy was so intent on being there for Paul and worked so hard and gave so much of himself that he ran his batteries down. And as we all know, when we're tired and we're stressed and we've given and given and given till there's not much to give, our resistance is down, and we are more vulnerable to getting sick. Well, Pappy got really sick. In fact, he got so sick that he almost died. As we read in verse 26, "Now I am sending him home again, for he has been longing to see you, and he was very distressed that you heard that he was ill." Pappy was homesick. He had probably never been away from home this long before. But notice that last sentence, he says, "He was very distressed that you heard he was ill." He was more concerned that his friends back in his home church would be concerned and bothered about him being ill than he was worried about himself being ill. But this is the kind of person that Pappy was. He thought of others more than himself. He was a person who deeply cared for others. He deeply cared for Paul, and he gave. And he was also deeply caring for his home church, because he was more concerned about them than he was his own illness. Verse 27. "And he surely was ill. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him and also on me, so that I would not have such unbearable sorrow." Pappy almost died. He got so sick. And maybe it was Paul's prayers or the prayers of the Christians from the Roman church. I don't know. But it makes it sound like God spared his life in a miraculous way. And I love how this verse ends, because it lets us in to Paul's sensitive, caring heart. Because Paul said, if he would have died, I would have borne this unbearable sorrow in my spirit. And it just lets you know how much Paul cared for this friend of his, Epaphroditus. Reading on in verse 28 and following, it says this: therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you will be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So Paul wanted to send him so Paul wouldn't have to worry about this message getting back, and the Philippian believers could hear this personal message from the letter of Philippians that we now have in our Bible and we are studying. They could now have that message from Paul, and they could be encouraged because their pastor had been writing to them, and they were let into his heart a little bit. This is what it says in verse 29 and 30. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him. Let me read that again. That's a significant phrase. And honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help that you could not give me. The Philippians were in Philippi. Paul was in Rome. And they could not help him like they could if they were there in person. So they sent Pappy there to minister to Paul's needs. And then Paul sent him back to Philippi with the letter to be able to share with the believers there. Philippians couldn't be there in person, but through Epaphroditus, they were there and they helped Paul. It would be a tragedy to go through life and not to have a good friend that would stand by your side. And Epaphroditus was a real blessing to Paul. And he's a blessing to us as well as Timothy, as we read about their commitment and their friendship and the friendship that they demonstrated with the way that they lived their lives as they put the welfare of Paul before themselves. They submitted themselves to God in the attitude of Jesus Christ. Now, it's been a while, Julia. However, if I remember the Pathfinder pledge in Law and Mishle, you better be all over this too. It says this: by the grace of God, I will be pure and kind and true. I will keep the Pathfinder law. And catch this next place that I put in red. I will be a servant of God and a friend to man. A servant of God and a friend to man. Now, I used to say that in Pathfinders a long time ago and not even think about it. But as it is relating to what we've read here about Tim and Pappy, I am telling you, this pledge in law nails it right on the head. I will be a servant of God and a friend to men by the grace of God. I will be a servant of God and a friend to man. And Timothy and Epaphroditus were wonderful examples of being a servant of God and a friend to man. And that is why I think Paul, in speaking of Pappy, said this in verse 29: hold men like him in high regard. Hold individuals like Paul, like Timothy, like Epaphroditus in high regard. Scripture holds these friends who gave of themselves in high regard. God holds them in high regard. And so should we hold them in high regard for their sacrificial friendship, giving them themselves, even at the peril of their health. This is the way that Jesus put it. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me, that is God, will find it. That's a difficult saying. That's a very difficult saying. But Jesus challenges us to be more like Timothy and Epaphroditus and giving our lives to be friends to others and serving one another with humility. Yesterday I had a lunch meeting with a good friend, a good Christian friend. He's not a member of this church, but I try to get together with him once or twice a year, usually twice, and just to encourage him. He's a businessman in Humboldt County here, and he has, I think, 13 different employees. So he's, I mean, he's a very busy man. It's his business. Very busy in his business world. He's a father and a husband on top of that, and that certainly makes other demands on his life. But primarily, I was there to encourage him as a gospel worker. For he is really involved in his church. I mean really, really, really involved. His church is between pastors right now. And he is pretty much the pastor leader in his church. It's a much larger church than we are. But he preaches, he does music, he leads meetings. He has a men's ministry, a Bible study, and it goes on and on. And so I just wanted to meet with him. I hadn't seen him for some time, and I just wanted to spend some time and say, "How you doing?" And he kind of says, "I'm kind of worn out," quite frankly. And so I spent an hour there just showing interest in his life and telling him that I hold you in high regard for the way that you are serving your church and putting Christ first in your life. And I was, I think, able to encourage him at least a little bit and tell him, you keep at it. Because there is one day in heaven that whatever you invested in God's kingdom and God's church here on earth, I don't care how busy our lives are, there is a phrase that all of us will want to hear when we get to heaven. And when my friend gets to heaven and sees Jesus face to face in the heavenly kingdom someday in the future, I am positive without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to look at my friend and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And to be perfectly honest with you, I am living my life and doing my ministry to hear that one phrase, and that's all I need to hear. Well done, Ron, thou good and faithful servant. Paul and Timothy were ordinary Christians. But they had an extraordinary commitment. They were willing to be extraordinary friends. And Paul was blessed because of their friendship, their sacrificial, put others first, humble friendship. And the book of Philippians in chapter 2 is trying to urge us, who even live in this modern time, to not be like the Church of Rome, who was so obsessed with their lives that they didn't have time to do that. Paul said about them, "Everyone looks out for his own interests and not those of Jesus Christ." So the choice that we have in today's study is to be either like the Church of Rome or to be like Timmy and Pappy. Your choice, it's my choice. What kind of friend, what kind of believer are we going to choose to be? Lord, Heavenly Father, you are such a wonderful God, and you are all about giving. And humanly speaking, Lord, we are all about ourselves and clutching and grasping and hoarding, and we're just selfish to the core. Lord, thank you for the example of two individuals who were not only good friends, but they were faithful friends in the gospel because they were willing to put you and your kingdom above their own interests. Lord, help us to have the attitude of Jesus, the attitude of Paul, the attitude of Epaphroditus, and the attitude of Timothy. Lord, I pray for renewing of our minds. Thank you. Send the Holy Spirit to live out his life within us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.